Touchdown confirmed.
That was the scene inside Mission Control at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in California yesterday when NASA's InSight spacecraft landed on Mars. After a six-month journey hurtling through space, the probe became the eighth spacecraft ever to land on the Red Planet, and it's already sending back photos. Joining us now is the principal investigator of the Mars InSight mission, Bruce Bannard. Bruce, welcome to Here and Now. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
How are you doing today?
I'm still walking on air today.
I bet. Well, this is just amazing, traveling more than 100 million miles to reach Mars, and it landed safely. How nervous were you yesterday?
I was pretty nervous. I thought as I was coming up this week that I was handling it pretty well, but by a few minutes before landing, I was pretty much a basket case.
How do you make sure that it lands upright?
Well, I mean, we land on rockets, and so there's software on board that controls the rockets and keeps the balance such that it's upright. Of course, what we have to make sure is that you don't land on a surface that has a big rock under one leg that might flip you over. And so we've spent a lot of time picking out a region on Mars. We found a region that was pretty big that didn't have very many rocks, maybe a tenth of a percent of the area had big rocks on it. And so statistically, we were in pretty good shape. But, you know, you can always have a bad day when you're working with statistics. So we were still pretty nervous.
And I assume you can't control it as it's happening because there's probably a delay from what you're doing to what actually is going on.
Oh, that's absolutely true. I mean, the light time delay, the time it takes for a radio signal to get from the Earth to Mars or from Mars to the Earth is about 8 seconds right now. No, I'm sorry, 8 minutes. And so since it only takes 6.5 minutes to go from the top of the atmosphere to the surface, it's actually already landed by the time we start getting telemetry back that it's starting the process. So it has to do everything autonomously. All the software on board is already set up to go through the sequence of events that it needs to go through to get to the surface.
Now, if it had fallen on its side, or if it does now, let's say there's a windstorm and it gets knocked over, is there a way for you to get the InSight back upright?
No, there's not. I mean, this is not a rover mission. It's mm-hmm. not a spacecraft that's built to move itself around on the ground. It's built to be a stationary scientific station as soon as it touches down. And so basically, wherever we stick it, that's where we're going to stay.
And what is it that you are trying to find out from this InSight?
Well, InSight's the first mission to go to Mars to try to probe deep into the planet and understand the structure of the interior of the planet, the size of the core, the thickness of the crust, the composition of the inside. All the other missions that have gone before have looked at things like the geology, the chemistry of the surface, the characteristics of the atmosphere, and we know a lot about Mars's surface now, but we know very, very little about the deep inside of Mars. And this is actually really critical to understanding the history of the planet and the reasons why the surface looks the way it does today.
Why is that? What does it tell you when you know what's underneath the surface?
Well, Mars is kind of a unique laboratory for us, a planetary laboratory, in that it's gone through all the very initial processes of planetary formation back 4.5 billion years ago. But then just a few tens of millions of years after it formed, it slowed way down. And so the structures that were set up way back then are still in place. The crust that was put in place when it was first formed, the structure of the mantle and so forth. And so we can actually use Mars as kind of a time machine to go back and look at, you know, how things were on the planets very soon after they were first formed. And there's some very key processes that determine which way a planet's going to go, you know, whether it goes to a planet with a thick atmosphere and an ocean, or it goes to a very dry planet with a thin atmosphere, or a planet with a super thick atmosphere like Venus, which is extremely hot and sulfurous. And so these differences but among the planets, we think, are due to very subtle changes, very subtle differences in the way they formed early on. And we want to be able to understand those processes. And Mars is a great place to go and start to study that.
You're also going to be monitoring for Mars quakes. I didn't even think of the word earthquake having to do with Earth because we just say it like it's just another word in our language. But there would be it wouldn't be an earthquake on Mars. It would be a Mars quake.
Absolutely. I mean, why not?
Right. So what are you going to learn from that?
Well, the thing about Mars quakes is that they send waves through the planet, vibrational waves or so-called seismic waves. And as those waves pass through the planet, they get affected by the materials that they travel through. And so when we sense them at the surface after they've gone down into the planet and come back up to the surface on the other side, we can actually take those wiggles that you see on the seismograms from earthquakes on the Earth, and we can analyze the shapes of those wiggles, their frequencies, the timing of when they arrive, and put together an actual 3D view of the material that it passed through. And so by accumulating the information from a lot of Mars quakes, we can actually get a 3D map of the inside of the planet. And so I like to think of a quake being like a flashbulb that goes off and it illuminates the inside of the planet, and the seismometers are our eyes that allow us to start to see the structure deep inside a planet.
You started this project more than a decade ago. How much has the mission changed since that? I imagine that technology has changed pretty dramatically since then, but how much has the mission changed?
The mission has not changed very much since we conceived it about 9 or 10 years ago. We've had several iterations of trying to figure out how to send seismometers to Mars. And this latest one that we're actually operating right now on the surface, and that I still get a quiver in my stomach every time I say that. Mm-hmm. The mission that we conceived about 9 or 10 years ago is very close to the one that we're flying today. And it's some of the details have changed. The way we've actually, you know, implemented the connection of the seismometer to the spacecraft and some of the shielding techniques and things like that. But the mission itself has been pretty constant.
How far away is InSight from some of the other spacecraft that are on Mars or around Mars at the moment?
It's actually very close to Curiosity, and by very close, I mean about 200 or 300 miles away. Mm-hmm. We're just about due north of Curiosity, which actually makes a little bit of a traffic jam on Mars in the sense that the data that we bring back from the surface of Mars is relayed through telecommunication orbiters. And so when an orbiter goes overhead, we beam our information up to the orbiter, and the orbiter has a stronger radio that can then beam it back to Earth. And those spacecraft generally go in a north-south orbit. So when an orbiter is going over InSight, it's also going over Curiosity on the same orbit. And so we have to put together sort of a sharing process that mm-hmm. Sometimes, Curiosity gets the orbiter, sometimes we get the orbiter, and we have to share the data stream coming back.
Why is it so important that we study Mars?
Well, I think it's important to study Mars, not just for its own sake. I mean, it's an exciting place. It's a different place, and in terms of exploring, new places and new things, it's a very tempting target. But it also, as I was saying before, it tells us a lot about how planets form, and then we can apply that back to our own planet. Understand, why we have a planet, why we have a planet that has oceans, why we have a planet that has a breathable atmosphere and a temperature which is conducive to life. I mean, it's not a foregone conclusion that you can get a planet that way. And it's I think it's important to understand, how Earth got to be the way it is, and to understand, how stable is the environment that we're living in, and how are we likely to be able to affect it in the future?
So when are we going to have a person, do you think, on Mars?
I believe, and this is just purely speculation, but just my gut feeling is I think maybe in 20 years, 25 mm-hmm. years, we could have people walking on Mars. Wow. If we decide that's something that's important and something that we want to do. I know the technology exists, and I think we could do it. But 25 years maybe. I hope to be around to see that.
So yesterday when this happened, when the landing happened successfully, I tweeted out, we can land a spacecraft on Mars, but we still can't figure out how to blank. And people were responding, grow romaine lettuce, move traffic efficiently. What would your answer to that be? What is the thing after you've just done this that you are still like, how can we not figure out this other thing?
Oh boy, I always smile when I see that because, you know, I said, yeah, we can land a spacecraft on Mars, and I think about, you know, the 10 years that I've spent, you know, helping to design and implement this project and all the problems and all the issues that you know, we ran into and all the expertise and the different people from all kinds of different backgrounds that we brought to help us, you know, figure out and fix all the issues. And I'm thinking, yeah, we can land a mission on Mars, but it's not as easy as it looks. You know?
It takes a long time.
It does.
That is Bruce Bannert, who is the principal investigator on the Mars InSight mission. Thank you so much, and congratulations again. We can't wait to see what InSight sends back.
Neither can I. And it's great talking to you.